Blog Talk Radio.
Axel, come in here and let's do this disclaimer thing for the show.
What disclaimer?
The disclaimer that Kyle sent us. You get the email?
I don't check my email. Do you remember 9/11?
Jesus Christ. Okay, just open your email. It's right there.
I don't see it.
It's fucking right there. Let me click it.
Okay, now I see it.
No, wait, that's not it.
If your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, call your doctor.
No, oh my God. Wait a minute. You have so much spam mail.
Supplies sold separately. Batteries not included.
Shut the fuck up, Axel. I'll tell you when it's up.
I'm just trying to be professional. You know how they talk really fast and shit?
Okay, wait, it's up. Okay, read it.
The views, opinions, and affiliations of the WTS are subject to time. As a result, some of the content in these shows may become outdated or no longer pertinent. The opinions displayed on the show are in no way affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment or any other wrestling promotion. The WTS is an entertainment show. Therefore, conversation may become exaggerated to enhance entertainment value. Hyperbole, fictitious storylines, and taking on the role of a character are parts of the WTS and their product. Though their opinions and beliefs are meant to be taken seriously, the way in which they are presented are subject to the guidelines of entertainment and are not always intended to be taken literally. The WTS is completely unrated, unedited, and live, and we do not use any type of censorship, nor do we intend to influence people in a negative way. It may cause discoloration of the urine or feces.
All right. Fuck it. I'm done. I tried. Lord have mercy.
Welcome to the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show.
What is up, people, and welcome to the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show NXT TakeOver Rival Post Show. And we are finally here, and I just said finally. I wasn't supposed to say finally, but here we are. We are live on the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show. And we just enjoyed a very interesting show. It's the first time I've ever watched NXT, and I have to say that I'm glad I watched. It was a tremendous show. I have a couple things to say. About the hype of it. The hype, I feel like people are losing their shit a little bit too much. But other than that, it was an amazing show. Overall, I found a couple of different people that I'm going to be marking out for in the future. We'll talk about that all throughout the show. But right now, obviously, our reactions are the most fresh for the main event, which was Sami Zayn versus motherfucking Kevin Owens for the NXT title. And people are bitching about how it ended. So let's go around the panel and get our initial reactions of the ending, because obviously that's a controversial thing. Let's figure out what our thoughts were for the ending, and then I have something to say about it. A quick little rant, something I'm seeing on Twitter that's bothering me. Jen, what are your thoughts on the end of the main event?
I'm going first, okay, because I'm pretty sure it's well known that everyone knows that I love Sami Zayn. I have loved Sami Zayn for a long time now. And here he wins the title just, 2 months ago, right? And it's this big thing, it's this big deal, everyone's celebrating. And literally 2 months later, it's gone now. So, and by the way, I want to preface this by saying I love Kevin Owens, and I think he's great. He has definitely a very bright future. But as a fan, just taking away the smart side of me as a fan, I'm kind of pissed off, I'm not going to lie, because, like I said, after this entire journey that he's went through, that's suddenly gone, you know, in one match, in one night. Now, the match itself was spectacular, it was fantastic, just as we all thought it would be. But I'll admit, I'll have to see where this goes from here, to decide how I'm going to view this, because I don't know what they're going to do with Sammy now. Obviously, they're going to continue with this for the time being. But as for the result, I'm definitely not happy with it. And we'll just see what happens, because I'm, again, this is right off the top of my head because this just ended. And I'm still kind of, as a fan, I am pissed off because are you kidding me? Like, you just, at least let Sammy have a legitimate reign. You know? Okay, somebody else take it, because
Kyle, go ahead.
Jenny, here's the thing, though. This is how it's perfect booking. Okay, you have people like you who are like, oh, Sammy didn't get his rightful reign. Oh, screw Owens, yada, yada, yada. That's how they're getting heat on Owens. True, legitimate heat. Because people weren't hating Owens. They were in love with Owens. They're still in love with Owens. But now he's getting that real heel heat because he's the one who took away that moment from Sami Zayn. You know?
I do agree. Now, that is something I agree on. Biggest heel, I mean, other than, you know, the top ones in WWE, without a doubt, biggest heel in NXT, and he made that a fact tonight.
The beautiful part about that ending was it accomplishes two things. It doesn't end the feud.
No, it doesn't.
And Sami Zayn has a legitimate grudge to hold the whole I was never pinned for my championship.
That's true.
Okay, well, I'll let Jamie give his thoughts on this, and then I have a little gripe. Something I'm seeing on Twitter right now that's absolutely driving me fucking insane. Go ahead, Jamie. What were your thoughts on the end of this match?
Well, the finish of it is something we haven't seen in a while. I mean, the whole ref stoppage, and really, I mean, like, you know what Kyle said. This is classic booking right here, because now Zayn has the whole thing of like, hey bitch, I was never officially beat for it. You may have beat me down to the point where I could not continue, but you did not pin my shoulders and you did not make me tap out. And I'm just saying now, because I imagine there will be a rematch. It needs to be a fucking street fight. Needs to be a street fight. Those guys cannot go from that to having just another regular one-on-one match. Like, there's like some sort of gimmick needs to be thrown on it.
Okay, well, the thing that's bothering me the most about this is that people are going, oh my God, all of that build-up and everything, and you're pissing it all away with this finish. No, this finish is absolutely the best thing that could have possibly happened. Because The promo package that they played before the match, I was thinking, like, holy shit, this feels, like, really intense. It feels like a Mania feud or something like that. I was like, wow, okay, this is real. And then halfway through the match, I start thinking, wait, okay, either Sammy's going to retain and it's going to be a big Cinderella. Oh, okay, Sammy retained and he overcome the odds and all this shit. Or it's going to be the heel going over. And both of those are pretty predictable, but what they did here is they kind of achieved both of those things. They had Sammy to where he didn't lose the title legally. He didn't lose the title in a way that could have been like, oh, yeah, you know what, you got the better of me. No, Kevin Owens was just being a dickhead heel, and that was a great thing. Kevin Owens was getting over half of the crowd. You could hear that half of the crowd absolutely loved Kevin Owens, and the other half fucking loved Sami Zayn. It was a great, the absolute best thing that you could have done in that situation.
Okay, but I'm going to interject here.
Any other finish would have been way too predictable, Jen. That's my argument.
And that's fine, but you also have to realize, and because you're newer to this NXT thing, so that's fine. So I think what you're doing is you are giving a more straight-headed response right now, but like this just ended not even, 20, 30 minutes ago? So you know, this is still fresh in our heads. And for the people who love Sami Zayn, such as myself, it takes a little while to develop a smart response to what's going on. That's why, you know, that's why when we, you know, we have our shows Tuesday nights, Tuesday, a day after Raw, we have time to develop our thoughts into coherent sentences and what we have to say in phrases. But as of right now, I can't really think straight because y'all know how much I love Sami Zayn. So this and it does sound right. It makes sense. But at the same time, it's like, okay, so now it's just nothing.
Yeah, but see, Jenny, the fact that you're upset right now, the fact that you're mad right now, is playing to the fact that what they wanted. They want me mad because I need to control myself.
Jenny, but I can't because I'm so pissed off.
Jenny, they want you guys to be pissed off. They want Zayn fans to be pissed off at Owens. That's how they're going to get heated Owens. They realize that at the very beginning, they were never going to successfully turn Owens heel. But even though he was playing a heel, nobody hated Owens. Owens was this big indie star who nobody would hate because he's this indie star who's finally the WWE. You were never going to get heat on him in any other way, possible. Now you get heat on him. You had to do it. It had to be done.
And now, when the rematch eventually happens, when Zayn finally kicks the living shit out of Owens, it's going to be like, oh my God, holy shit. I mean, it's going to be like this big, huge, intense thing. Like, you know, let's say he has a chair set up on Owens' face. He goes in for that huge Asaluva kick. And bam, it's like, you've been waiting for that moment. It's like, yes, this is what this guy gets because he kicked the shit out of this guy that we love, who's been working for so damn long, and he got his moment, and he was robbed at the end of his moment by this guy, and now he just got what he fucking deserved. He made his bed, and now he's lying in it.
But the whole predictability factor is what bothers me, because the only thing that I will say about the pay-per-view that I didn't like is that it was way too obvious that Finn Balor was going to win the No More Contendership. It was way too obvious to me because they kept harping on the fact that Adrian Neville had a long, huge NXT title reign, and then I was like, okay, well, it's obviously going to be Finn Balor. There's no way that he's not going to win this match. That was the only thing that bothered me a little bit, even though the match and we'll talk about this later, but bringing it back to the Zayn and Owens match, the predictability factor is what I didn't like. Halfway through the match, I was like, okay, all right, here we go. Sammy's going to come back, and it's going to be great, and he's going to fucking hit his finisher, and then boom, 1, 2, 3, and then Sammy retains. Or they're going to do a big swerve thing where it's like, okay, you think Sammy's coming back, and then Owens does his powerbomb, and then 1, 2, 3, over. Either one of those finishes was going to be predictable. And the thing that's great about this finish is that there's no resolution. Essentially, right now, we're in the same position as we were before the match started. And that's a bittersweet thing to some degree because you're like, okay, you didn't feel like you got anything accomplished in your heart. You get all this, you know, pin up, you know, you watch the promos and everything, you're like, oh shit, here we go, and you know, here we go, and then the bell rings and nothing really gets accomplished. But that's a great thing also because it keeps the story interesting. You're still on the edge of your seat, like, I can't wait to see what they do with them next. That's the greatest thing about this.
And I agree with, I'm sorry to cut you off, and I agree with what you're saying, and it makes sense again. But do you really think that, and again, this is NXT, so chances are the answer is yes. They won't screw it up like they would in the main roster. But they have to make sure, now that Sammy is not the champion anymore, Kevin Owens looks strong. That is, he made a statement tonight. He won it. He is on top of the world. He did, but at the same time, they have to book him a certain way. Now that he's not the champion anymore, they have to book him a certain way to make him look a certain way in this feud as it continues.
But here's the thing, though. Unlike WWE, they didn't book themselves in their corner. With Sami Zayn, it's a simple act of how they're going to book him. All they have to do is book him as a guy who says, I never lost my fucking championship. I was never pinned.
I disagree. I don't think that you necessarily have to go with the whole obvious way of like, oh, you know what? Technically, kind of the Curtis Axel thing. Oh, technically, I'm the winner of the Royal Rumble. I don't think that that's necessarily the greatest technique for Sami. I think that he can just come out and say, you know what? The way that you treated me in that match was absolutely ridiculous. No matter what your personal feelings are or anything like that, we were in a fucking singles match for the title. You have no respect for the fucking business. You have no respect for the title. I think that Sammy should be a little more aggressive instead of – and like I will give props. I don't know. I'm obviously Jin is the NXT aficionado. I haven't seen – any of Sammy's promos other than what they showed tonight. So I don't know if he has a mean streak. I don't know if he's aggressive all the time. I don't know. But here's the thing that I want to see. If he's just a blank canvas, I want to see Sammy come out and go, you know what? You have no respect for me. You have no respect for the fucking business. The way that you treated me in that match was absolutely ridiculous. And I have a rematch. So get ready, motherfucker.
But
and
the thing is, he kind of already did that at the contract signing. And again, you said you don't watch normally, so that's fine, so you wouldn't know. But a couple weeks ago, when they did the contract signing for this match, we had that. Sammy was, he was not backing down on the mic. He stood toe-to-toe with Kevin Owens. He was fierce. So we've had that already. That's the thing.
But so I understand that Owens, after, you know, after Zayn won the title, that's when Owens, you know, turned heel and everything like that. I understand that we had that big moment, and then Sammy felt betrayed and all this shit like that. But there's a huge difference in being betrayed by your friend and you're still the champion, and then your friend causing you to lose the championship. Like, that's a big deal. Like, maybe not in the typical, like, oh, I'm pissed off, like, I'm going to beat you up. Maybe not that. But we could have, maybe he doesn't have to be, like, yelling and aggressive about it. Maybe he can just come out and you go, you know what? My response to that whole situation is, he can come out and say, you know what? Owens just proved what a piece of shit he is. He can be calm and collected about it. I'm not saying he has to come out screaming even louder than he did in the contract signing. That's not what I'm saying. But overall, I don't think that you should paint yourself into a corner with the whole thing of, oh, technically he didn't get pinned. I don't think that's the
thing.
You
know, you say that, but I think that the storyline is going to end up going down that path.
Well, see, here's the thing. While that might be the generic way to go, that's not a bad direction to go.
I mean, either way, it's going to be interesting. Their chemistry and everything is interesting no matter what they do with them.
So, see, that's the difference between NXT and WWE is, NXT, they could go any option here, and it won't fuck them. Like, even the generic option isn't a terrible option, you know?
Yeah.
But also, the thing, too, another route they could go down, which would be actually kind of interesting, if you have Sammy come out on NXT on Wednesday, right?
It's on Wednesdays, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He comes out on Wednesday and he goes to Regal and says, you know what? Goes in the ring and says, you know what? I asked for the match to be a championship match. I got played by Kevin Owens, but I said yes to a wrestling match, not a brawl, you know?
Yeah.
Not a beatdown. Exactly.
There's a lot of different ways that Sammy can come out of this and look strong. Even if he just says, okay, and obviously this didn't happen, but even if Sammy comes out and goes, you know what? Okay, I fucking lost the title, but that doesn't mean that Kevin Owens is still not a dick. It doesn't matter. I mean, on the main roster, there have been plenty of storylines where a huge face has lost the title cleanly to a heel and still look strong afterwards. And they still come back and say, you know what? You're a heel, so I need my title back. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a screw job just for Sammy to come back and go, you know what? Hey, you're a heel. I don't like you. That's my title. What I'm trying to say is we don't have to figure out a cop-out. We don't have to figure out an excuse for Sammy to go back because, obviously, he was the champion, and in WWE kayfabe terms, he has a rematch clause. So let's not forget that. I mean, we're going to have a match no matter what Sammy's excuse is for losing the title. No matter what his response is to the end of this match, we're still going to have another match.
Also,
one thing that we should probably think about now, like, I don't know if, like, he'll play a part in this whole thing or not, but Finn Balor did become the number one contender.
You know, I was definitely going to get to that.
On the show tonight. So another thing that we got to wonder is, like, is he going to play a role in this? I mean, like, is there going to be some kind of screwy finish maybe to maybe his title match? Is Zayn going to get involved somehow? Like, or will it just end up in, like, a triple threat somehow? Just, like, or just right now, there's, like, for right now, there's a few different ways that they could go about this whole thing.
It's limitless at this point, especially with that X Factor of Finn Balor, which, by the way, if we're going to head into Finn Balor, I've got stuff to say, so I guess I'm going to take over. Is there any more thoughts that we have on the main event tonight?
Well, later on, I have a rant about the entire show just aesthetically. But right now, yeah, we can go ahead and move on to Finn Balor. This is the This is the first post show that Jin's been on. The post shows are a lot more nonchalant than the main.
They definitely are.
Because we just watched the pay per view. Actually, I will tell you that I'm enjoying this post show a lot more than I was enjoying the Royal Rumble post show.
I'm here. You know why? It's because I'm here, obviously. I mean, I couldn't make it to the Royal Rumble post show, but here I am now, and it's obviously a lot better.
Okay, what do you have to say about Finn Balor?
Alright, so, Sammy, he is my, and I don't want to rank anybody, I'm just going to say Sammy and Finn are tied for number one and my favorites in NXT right now. But I do want to say this about Finn Balor, and I think it is definitely a point that needs to be taken out. You know how we were just talking about Sammy and this big loss he took, but, and I guess, you know, that was good for him. That way he can continue down this road, and he will hopefully eventually get it back. It'll be a great homecoming and such. But the complete opposite is what needs to happen for Balor right now. So Sammy lost, and yeah, I'm still griping. I'm still pissy about that. But Balor, and I know y'all haven't been watching all the time or lately, but I have. And Balor has been looking invincible, to say the least. Like, I knew he was going to win tonight. And again, I love him, so I was happy about it. But the thing that they have to do with this is now that he's number one contender, they have to book him a way where he has to get through challenges. He has to, you have to feel like he has to overcome mountains to become the champion. Now, of course, like I said, he is the X factor in this whole thing, so we have no idea where he's going to play a part. But he has been winning and winning. And winning and winning.
Okay, let me jump in here.
Go ahead.
Obviously, I just want to preface this by saying that obviously everything I say, obviously I haven't been watching. So everything I say is going to be coming from a fresh, absolute fresh perspective on the product that is NXT.
And
but,
before he continues, I also want to say this. I've only watched 2 episodes of NXT, so I'm just about the same boat as he is.
Yeah, okay. You were talking about how they're going to have to book Finn in a way that makes it look like he's hopping over mountains and shit.
He has to overcome obstacles because for as long as he's been there, it's only been a few months, I know, but we haven't had that yet. And every good face needs just as good a heel to get over, to overcome the obstacle.
Okay, I understand that point, but as it relates to what happened tonight, the way that they made that number one contender spot look was absolutely magnificent. That's the one thing that I will give NXT credit for the most, is that they're making the number one contendership, they're making their main event slot
exclusive,
so important. They're making it the most important thing in that universe, which is amazing because WWE hasn't been like that since probably around 2007. And the thing that makes me the most happy is that that match between Finn Balor and Adrian Neville was a number one contendership match. It wasn't for the title, but if you were just like you tuned in halfway through, you would think that was a championship match. But it was only for an opportunity to get a motherfucking title match. It wasn't even a guarantee for the title. Like, it was just for an opportunity. They were going that hard in that match for an opportunity to have another match to become champion. And that's the thing that makes me the most happy about all of this. So as far as overcoming obstacles and everything like that, if you're talking about Finn Balor as a character and what he needs to do to, I guess, kind of prove, like validate his spot, so to speak, I understand that. But the way that everybody looked in that number one contendership match, I don't really think there's much proving that needs to happen.
See, I'm not saying, because, again, what I'm saying is you haven't really been watching, so it's every single week.
No,
I mean,
I know what you're talking
like,
about as it relates to his character development, Jen. I understand that.
I agree, but what I'm saying is, and I'm relating that to the fact that he won tonight, which, again, I'm super happy about, but he has, you know, only been here for a few months, and you could say that about Kevin Owens, but that is certified, that is done, that is, he is on the high road. But I feel like he needs to, before he gets that shot, because, again, we don't know when that's going to be, before he gets that title shot, which he rightfully won tonight, He's going to have to overcome some obstacles so that way we feel, you know, just like any other face on the main roster, we feel for them. We have even more of a reason to cheer for them. And if not, we need to feel like it's been a hard road for him to go by.
Well, see, the one that they go about that is the whole, like, feel, like, make, as a face, like, feel attached to him. Here's what you got to do. And they're kind of doing that somewhat now. You have Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, right? People are going to hate Owens if he just keeps beating Sami Zayn. He becomes this unstoppable thing, and then you put Balor as one of those, I guess you could say, a white knight coming to save the day, but whether he does or not is a different story. But, like, that would be enough to get people to attract him. It's like, hey, you could actually beat this guy. Go beat this guy. I want this guy to be beaten, in kayfabe terms, obviously. So I don't think there's much obstacles they need besides keeping him strong, like making him look strong in anything he does between now and whatever that match is.
No, I agree about looking strong. I definitely, because again, that's my concern with for Sammy is now that he's not the champion anymore, they need to make sure he looks strong. But
here,
for Finn, he looks like Hulk strong right now.
Let me jump in just a little side note on my previous point. I understand what Jen, I didn't want to sound like I was dodging what Jen was saying. I understand what Jen is saying as far as Finn's character development. I understand that. But as far as the position he's in on the show, I don't think that there needs to be that much validation, because anybody in that spot, if you're in the main event in NXT, then they're going to do all the work for you. I mean, the way that they're talking about the number one contendership spot and the people that are in the matches, the way that they're working in the ring just validates the whole situation. So I understand individually Finn might need a little bit more validation as a character. Now, obviously, I haven't seen this in aggregate. I don't know how Finn's been doing week to week. So obviously, I'll be watching.
Exactly,
which was
what I was trying to translate throughout.
I completely get it. I understand what you're saying.
I was tying what I was saying to the fact that he won tonight. What was going on tonight? So I made the tie-in.
Yeah, I'm just trying to backtrack so it doesn't sound like I was.
Yeah.
Dodging what you said, I was just kind of extrapolating. Jamie, do you have any thoughts on Finn Balor's position and what happened with Finn Balor in the number one contendership spot tonight?
Well, see, the thing was that I actually missed most of the show because I was at work. But from what I've heard, it sounded like it was a fucking fantastic match. I look forward to watching it because I've been a fan of Neville for quite some time, and Balor's just on a whole nother fucking level right now.
Incredible.
But Balor winning didn't shock me all that much because I think it would not surprise me the night after WrestleMania we see Neville debut on the main roster. So him losing to Balor didn't really surprise me too much. But Balor right now, like I mentioned when we were talking about Zayn and Owens, it's going to be very what I'm looking for. It's going to be very intriguing to see how he'll be placed among the whole deal right now going with Zayn and Owens.
Well, you mentioned a thing about the possibility of Adrian Neville being pulled up to the main roster, and earlier we were talking about the whole possibility of a triple threat match. Here's an interesting thing that I've seen people talking about on Twitter. What if Sammy losing the title, and I understand this would be completely unconventional, it would be a bad way for him to go out, but what if him dropping the title to Kevin Owens is a way for Sami Zayn to go up to the main roster, and then in a couple months to a year, whenever Kevin Owens goes up to the main roster, then we have the continuation of their feud on like Monday Night Raw or something like that. That's a possibility that I've seen. We could have this as a cliffhanger. Kevin Owens takes over Sami Zayn's spot on NXT. Sami Zayn debuts on Raw, and then they're doing separate things. And then let's say in a year and a half, we have Kevin Owens' debut on Monday Night Raw, and then we pick up on the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens feud. It doesn't even have to be for a title. They could, you know, at that point, their names would be big enough where they could just have a feud.
You know what would be
like
really
that.
Badass?
That would be a great way for them to debut on WWE television. That would be great, actually. But I understand it would hurt right now because we want closure right now. I understand that, but in the long term, how fucking awesome would that be if Sami Zayn had to duck out of NXT and go to Raw, and then it's kind of like Cena after WrestleMania 28. He's got to build up. He's got to come back from this, and then motherfucking Kevin Owens shows up on Raw in a year, and then they pick up right where they left off. That would be such a cool moment
on
Raw.
You're telling me that, because you have to remember NXT and WWE have two different head writers. They have two different ways in which they go about their product. You're telling me that WWE is going to be able to, from what they got from NXT and translate that to the main roster stuff. You're telling me they will successfully be able to do that. That's where I get scared because once Sami goes up to the main roster, he's screwed basically because he's not big and strong.
He's gonna get skull fucking treatment.
That's right.
They wanted to give Adrian Neville a Mighty Mouse-like gimmick. If that doesn't tell you anything,
exactly.
I don't know what does.
Mighty Mouse.
Yep.
Yeah, Mighty Mouse.
I want to say one thing, I want to get back to what Jamie just said. One thing, too, guys.
Scared
to
death because I love Neville.
One thing, too, let's not pretend like Triple H won't try his damnedest to protect these guys once they get on the main roster. Triple H, you saw on the podcast, he is beyond over-the-moon proud of this, everything being built in NXT.
Yeah.
So that means he's going to take pride in what these guys do in the main roster because he is the reason why they're on the main roster. So I don't know how far his say will go, but let's not pretend like he won't try and protect the hell out of them.
Well,
you know?
Of course, but still,
and
at the end of the day, Vince is the one making the final call.
And some people might argue like, oh, well, why did he protect Bo Dallas, Big E, or Adam Rose? All those guys were called up way too fucking soon. Adam Rose... No. Just no.
Okay.
Bo Dallas had a gimmick that was going to fuck him from the beginning. And Big E, I think he was too soon as well. There's some just being too
soon.
Well,
I mean, I
had no
disagree about that, but...
I had no clue who Big E was when he showed up. I'm not going to lie.
And also, that's the thing that those guys had going against them was when they debuted, NXT was popular, but it wasn't as like...
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say that. Let's not pretend that NXT was like it is now for Big E.
It was very cult-like around the time when Big E debuted because back when the show like became like, you know, its own thing down in Florida, it was only shown in certain countries, and it was shown on the Hulu Plus thing. And,
yeah,
the only time I saw
any of that NXT was like when I was streaming a pay per view illegally.
We are on live radio.
And
this is pre network, people. This is pre
network.
Yeah,
pre network.
Pre network.
The struggle.
Back in the golden age.
The golden age of pay per view streaming.
Yeah, the ruthless aggression. Hold on. I was streaming a pay per view, and I saw Biggie Langston come out and do a motherfucking that weird finisher that he does, and I think he had the belt at the time. And it was just a weird little 5-minute thing I saw before the stream started. And it kind of made me uncomfortable. I don't know why. It felt like I wasn't supposed to be watching it, like it was a house show that was professionally recorded or something like that. But a quick little side mini, just a little mini rant, and this is something I tweeted on my account, at Axel Scissors, if you want to follow me on Twitter. quick little plug there. I tweeted this when during the number one contenders match when Finn Balor, and I don't want to spoil anything for Jamie, but Finn Balor did a spot through the barricade where he just basically did a tackle. He hit Adrian Neville with a tackle and then went through the barricade a little bit. And then the crowd started – you were talking about how it was more like a cult-like thing back when Big E was in it, and that's what made me think of this, that they started chanting, "Holy shit," for a barricade spot. It wasn't even that impressive of a barricade spot. And this ties into what I said in the first 5 minutes of the show about how I understand the hype, but I also don't understand the hype because people are flipping shit like it's the best goddamn thing to hit the planet, and I understand that it's a perfect breeding ground for awesome talent. I understand that. Overall, as a show, I don't feel like it was that entertaining. The thing that makes it entertaining is the roster. The bare bones aesthetic of it is what makes it entertaining. But overall, the storylines and stuff like that, the only one that made me interested was the whole Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens thing. The shit between Bull Dempsey and Baron Corbin was just run-of-the-mill typical shit, and that match was actually pretty disappointing. I'm not completely sold on Baron Corbin yet, but overall, that's just a quick little thing I wanted to throw in the mix here in the conversation.
I understand
the hype, but I don't understand the hype.
Well,
that's my statement.
Kyle, shut up. The thing about the hype is...
Hold up. I know you'll tell your ass apart.
Ladies first.
No, I go first.
Ladies first.
Well, if ladies are first, then let Kyle go.
That's what I said. Ladies first.
Because I know, Jenny, you'll have more of it... You'll be able to elaborate more on what I'm about to say. So that's why I want you to go after me. The one thing that people are screaming NXT praise, and I am too, isn't because of what's happening. It's because it's something different. We finally have an alternative to what happened on Monday. I remember this. I remember feeling the same way when I first started watching TNA back in 2003, I think. WWE wasn't complete shit, but I was in love with TNA because it was something completely different.
Well, when
looking back at it, TNA in the younger stages weren't that good, but they were good to me because it was something different. So NXT is one of those like, oh my god, this is amazing because it's a new flavor. Holy crap, I love everything about this. New people, new storylines, new everything. It's that new feeling, it's that new card feeling. It's like, okay, that's most amazing, you know, because it's
okay,
new.
I'm going to elaborate now, because like you said, and you actually, Kyle, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what it is. And, they chant NXT because they are proud of what they're seeing. They love what they're seeing. Because it's not like WWE. It is a lot better. But it is this side project. It's Triple H calls it the developmental program, but it's also a brand in itself. It's not as big as the big, you know, global phenomenon of World Wrestling Entertainment, but it is this side that many, many people like, and the reason they do is because it is different, and because you can tell that Triple H cares about what's going on. He cares about everybody in NXT, and he does what he can to make sure that they all fit in somehow, some way, and so when those people chant NXT, it is with pride, and it is with happiness, it is with you know, Really?
Okay.
Because there is something.
There's
Jamie, jump in. Jump in.
There's two main things about that about that place that I like. Number one is the crowd, because and some people may think that like this comparison might be a little bit out there, but that crowd reminds me a lot of the crowd from ECW.
Yeah,
because they're very, very vocal and they're very, very interactive. I mean, shit. My favorite chant that crowd in Florida does is the one that they do for Bailey. The whole Bailey's gonna hug you. That shit's hilarious to me. But
I heard somebody scream at the motherfucking ref to get out of the way.
hilarious. That crowd is insane, and the second thing I like is that they give the performers the right amount of time.
That's the biggest thing.
Which I think that the main roster right now, the people who are in charge, that is one of the main things that the main roster is lacking, because a lot of the performers on the main roster are really fucking good. And if you give them the right amount of time, they can blow your mind.
Yeah.
And they can do amazing fucking things. These kids down there, and I can't believe I'm saying kids because they're a lot more older than I am. But
But
this message brought to you by Grandpa Mr. Mac. Grandpa Mac.
But the yeah, finally someone's yeah, finally someone's fucking older than me. Anyway, the people down there, the wrestlers, the performers, the athletes, the sports entertainers, they have fucking talent, and on these specials, and hell, even on a week by week basis, or I guess a month by month, considering that they like tape all their shows in one night, they go out there and they get the fucking job done.
And you know what?
And they
that's
do it,
great.
And they
and
do
I,
it really well.
And that's the thing, what you said about time and how they are given time. I'm gonna segue that piece of what you just said into the Divas match.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have been waiting to talk about this
fucking
one since this happened.
Great
wow.
match.
And,
holy
and
shit.
This is,
another
and
match
this,
I'm looking forward to.
And again, you said time. These girls had more time than the main roster the girls do. They, all four of them, put on a heck of a show. And they
the,
definitely
the girls on NXT had more time than the motherfucking tag team division on Raw.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Because you know, these guys, girls, they're talented, but on the main roster, they don't have the time. But that's, you know, why I love NXT so much, and the women's division in NXT is because they have the time, and they're all so there. I cannot gush enough about how great the girls are down there. And all four of them kicked butt tonight. And I'm just going to make a little note about Sasha. I'm not going to pretend like I've been there since the beginning or I've been her biggest fan forever. But lately, she's really been growing on me. And I know how hard she works. She's been there every week. She's got something going on all the time. And so to finally see her win it, because I've been kind of wanting this to happen for a while, I was really happy. I was really proud of her. And I'm honestly excited to see where she goes from here as the new champion.
I kind of wanted Bayley to win, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know any. I wanted, like, going into it, I thought I was going to want Charlotte to win, but overall, like, halfway through the match, I was like, you know what? I want Bayley to win. Because I don't know why I was thinking this, but
Bayley,
I had like a.
And I'll hug you.
I had like a Nydia vibe from her, and I started laughing halfway through because I started thinking about. I started thinking of Jamie Noble references. I started laughing.
Running water.
One thing I want to say while we talk about this match, before Jamie and Axel start naming off Jamie Noble.
Hold on. Let me say one more thing. Just a quick sentence, Kyle, and then you can go.
Yeah, go ahead.
The thing that I love the most about this match is that it had spots. What Divas match
yep.
can you think of that has had spots before in on the main roster? Think back to a fucking Divas match. The only one I can think of that even came close is the Divas match at Royal Rumble, and it only had one spot that I remember, that cool little thing that the Bellas did where they, like, rolled through and grabbed somebody's leg. I believe it was Natalya's legs and, like, flipped her over or something like that. That's one spot in one match from, like, what, 2 weeks ago. Like, if people aren't motherfucking doing spots in Divas matches all the time.
Is it bad that the only Divas spot I can remember was when Lita did the suicide dive to Trish? Looks like she almost broke her neck again. That was over how many years ago?
That is probably
a decade, actually.
Yeah.
About a decade. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Okay, Kyle, go ahead. Because after you say something, I'm going to bring up what Axel was saying about Bayley. So.
Okay, well,
you have something to say.
I got to say something because I've been watching. One, it pissed me off when I saw her go on Raw, and they wouldn't fucking drop it. Now they're doing it in NXT too. Charlotte, amazing talent, amazing diva, amazing woman wrestler, whatever you want to say. We fucking get it. She is Ric Flair's daughter. We understand that. Move the fuck on.
That should be a little trivia thing, like, oh, and by the way, she's, you know, related. Like, it's one thing, they don't mention that Curtis Axel is the son of Mr. Perfect. They don't mention that all the time on Raw.
But at the same time, on the other hand, you have Charlotte, who that's all we ever hear about. And
yeah.
That's where it kind of gets to the point where it's scary for her. I'm kind of taking over. I'm sorry, so I don't mean to, but... it's kind of not good for her because this is Charlotte. This is not Ric Flair. She is a female, and she is not a male. She is not Ric Flair. She is Charlotte. She has her own identity, her own character, her own self, who is very, very, very good. There's no denying that. But if you keep, it's as if she's hiding in this shadow of her dad, and you don't want that to happen because she's too good for that. She doesn't depend on her father's name to get over and be good.
And here's
one thing that I'd like to know is that when Charlotte blades, if she bleeds as much as Rick, that would be that'd be a thing I'd like to find out. Go ahead.
Kind of makes me wonder if they're gonna make her a 16-time Divas champion too.
Oh my God, that's too much. I like her, but that's too much.
Here's the thing, and this is going past Charlotte. This is why second generation superstars rarely ever get over. For a very long time. Because it's a thing they do for every second generation. The only second generation superstar, well, he's a third generation superstar, who they didn't mention about over and over again. And guess what? He got over Randy Orton. They didn't mention his past for a very long time. But guess what? It worked. Look at Cody Rhodes. When he first came to the business, oh, he's Dusty Rhodes' son. Oh, look, there's Dusty Rhodes. Oh, look, son of Dusty Rhodes. Look how long it took him to get over. Look how long it took him.
Yeah, they had him paired with Hardcore Holly and motherfucking, it was a grim deal.
Ted DiBiase Jr., he had the misfortune of being named after his father.
Yep.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
I mean, this is why it's like...
priceless.
Oh, man, I'm priceless.
look at Dwayne. You know why he got over so well? They never mentioned his lineage until after he got over, until after he was over. It's nice to look back like, oh yeah, he's part of this great family after he established who he is by himself. And going back to Charlotte has the talent to establish herself as her own person. She's fucking amazing. She gives off this amazing vibe. She has this amazing look. And yes, it is kind of cool that she has a remix of Flair's theme song. That's not taking it too far. That's where that's a little nod. That's a cool nod.
Yeah, that's a subtle thing. Yeah. It should be like a trivia. Like, oh, if you catch it, then okay,
it's good for you.
You get it.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole theme here, that's not a
her theme is fucking
that's
great.
That's a nice little, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. But then when you go to commentary, it's like, she's a Flair. Oh, she's a Flair. She has the bloodline.
The reason that I wanted, other than the obvious Nydia reference, the reason I wanted Bayley to win in this match is because she was the only one in the match that I felt like she had a gimmick. I mean, I know that Sasha has the whole boss thing, which is cool. I like that, the whole, like, the thing she had on her knuckles.
Which is also another one of my favorite chants. Sasha's ratchet. No, she's not.
I actually like that aesthetic. I think that's a cool thing. I think that you can merchandise that like a motherfucker. But Bayley felt like she had a gimmick, and that's the thing that's missing in women's wrestling as a whole, is I don't feel like people have gimmicks anymore. And I'm not saying throw a gimmick on every single one of them, because, you know, that's just like on the male roster. If you throw a wacky gimmick on everybody, that's going to be a weird thing. But people misunderstand what I'm saying when I say gimmick, because what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you say gimmick? You think Santino Marella, Brodus Clay. You think like big, wacky, over the top
Doink
gimmick.
The fucking clown.
Doink the fucking clown. So shit like that comes to your mind, but in my opinion, a gimmick should be something like your personality, but just turned up by about half to where you can accentuate the weirder parts of your personality and let them shine through, but you're still normal enough to where it doesn't seem cheesy, it doesn't seem contrived or anything like that. So that's why I wanted Bayley to win, because overall she was the most interesting character in the match.
All right, I'm going to jump in on Bayley here, and I'm just going to say, in terms of the four girls in there, Bayley is my favorite. She's been my favorite for a while now in terms of those four. Sasha is a close second. But I feel like, and this is going to sound so cliche in terms of storytelling and stuff, you say she has a character, which is true, she does. But in terms of the story, it wasn't her time yet. And because I feel like this is a thing, because you have to realize Sasha and Charlotte, they used to be together. They used to be, you know, the BFFs. And so, but then, of course, they broke up. They hate each other, this and that. They've been, you know, going at it for months. So finally, the heel, Sasha, gets one over on Charlotte. So it makes sense. It connects There's a story there, and it makes sense. If you have, you know, for example, if you had Bailey to pin Charlotte or something, or to pin Sasha, it wouldn't have the same effect. But I do believe Bailey is definitely going to become a women's champion, just not at this time. It's Sasha's time right now, and frankly, I'm all for it. When Bailey does win it, it'll be great.
A nice little touch about the Divas match, one thing that I just kind of a ring psychology thing I wanted to mention, is I love how Charlotte didn't tap out. How she just got fatigued by the submission and then Sasha pinned her. Like, I love that touch because I was like, oh, no, don't tap. And then she, like, broke the hold, but then she just kind of rolled her over and pinned her. I love that. That's just me being a ring geek, apparently, because I don't know. Just subtle little shit like that will make me happy. It's like, okay, they didn't go for the typical, oh, she's going to tap or no, oh, you know, something like that. It's like, oh, you use the submission to fucking completely destroy somebody and then you pin them. Like, I just love that. And the fact that it happened in a women's wrestling match is just so refreshing. I said that before the show even started, that the women's promo that they played was just so refreshing and it felt real and you were, like, interested and, like, holy shit, like, it was just the whole fucking show. I keep wanting to say pay-per-view, but the whole show was just very refreshing, and I'm glad that I watched it.
And I just want to give before we move on, unless we have other thoughts, I just want to give a huge prop to that Divas match, because for years, y'all know this, since we started the show, I've been a Divas wrestling, a women's wrestling fan. And I always pick up for them, both on the main roster and NXT. So it's really great to see what's going on down there. And with Sasha as a new champion, who knows what she's going to do, who she's going to go with, or what's going to happen next. I'm super happy for her, and I cannot. I'm ecstatic for the women in NXT right now.
Can I mention one small thing? This won't take up any time at all. And Jenny, this is nothing on you, because I know you don't have an issue with the term diva or anything like that. I'm so annoying at people on Twitter who think, like, oh, they're not divas, they're women wrestlers. There's no fucking difference. Fuck.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no fucking difference. I get...
Yeah,
like,
that's true. Okay, go ahead.
And Jenny, I want to tell you, because I know you understand there is no difference. I know, like, you said women wrestling as a way to emphasize who they are.
To
I understand.
Emphasize. Yeah.
But people act like calling them divas is, like, sacrilege. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Lita was a diva. Tristratus was a diva. It is a term. If you call a wrestler an entertainer, same thing. A pro wrestler and sports entertainment are the same thing. Yeah, they're the exact same thing. Yes, you get a
Hold on. I want to jump in, Kyle, because I think the reason people get pissed off at the word diva is that when you think diva, at least in my mind, I think of back when the women's roster was divided into models and wrestlers. You had people like Trish and Lita and Mickey James other people that would wrestle. Why the fuck can't I think of her name?
Stacy Keach.
Who was it?
Molly
No, fuck. Victoria. Why couldn't I think of that name?
Victoria.
You have people like Victoria, Mickey James, Trish Stratus, Lita. They're wrestlers. And then on the other side, on SmackDown...
Even though Trish was a model.
Yeah, but...
She was. She was a famous model, yeah.
But it's not like she was working that hard. It's not like...
I know. I'm just pointing that out.
Okay, but it was divided. You had Trish and Stacy and Sable and shit like that, where they're obviously just there to be models. And then you have Trish and Mickey James and Lita and people like that are there to actually work matches. And I think if they split it that way again, because making people, like, I saw a post the other day about, oh, how bad Eva, I know this is kind of off topic since we're talking about NXT, but just a quick little side note here. People are talking about how shitty Eva Marie is in the ring and stuff like that. Why can't you just let her be a model? You see how successful someone like Lana can be on the show, who is obviously just a model who's amazing on the mic. You see, like, these assets. You don't have to make all of these women wrestlers if they don't want to be. If they just want to be involved in the company.
Or if they can't be.
Yeah, if you want to just pay him to fucking stand there, look pretty, and say something on the mic and be a valet for somebody, that's fine. That's cool. Because every now and then you're going to strike gold in somebody like Lana, who can fucking keep up with Cena on the mic, and eventually you're going to have great assets like that. Because I know everybody's like, oh, we need to find the next Trish Stratus, we need to find the next motherfucking Rock, and we need to find the next motherfucker. We need to find the next Paul Heyman. We need to find the next motherfucking great commentator and shit like that.
Which I'd like to, speaking of commentary, I fucking love Corey Graves and commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Side thing, I love that Lord Tensai was on the commentary table. That's hilarious. I love calling him Lord Tensai because that gimmick completely failed, and I'm a sarcastic monk. Okay.
Wait, don't you mean Albert?
Or A-Train?
Or right to Tensai Albert?
What else do we want to talk about? Everybody talk because I'm talking too much. I have a rant later, so I want to let everybody talk. Go ahead.
I think we've hit everything on the nail about tonight.
I'm trying to think.
Hideo Itami.
I haven't seen enough of Hideo Itami to form an opinion.
I feel
is
like
there anything
he's got potential like a motherfucker, but that's just
the
first thing.
You know what
is
we do
anything?
Have to talk about? Because you bring Hideo Itami,
Hold up, Jenny. Jamie wants to say something.
Yeah,
sorry,
what is it, James?
I just want to ask, is there, okay, like, besides the Balor and Neville match and the Fatal 4-Way women's match, is there anything else specifically I should be looking out for that I missed?
The Baron Corbin and Bull Dempsey match was nothing special.
Okay.
The tag team match wasn't all that special either.
The tag team match wasn't interesting, but that motherfucking Kalisto guy is a motherfucker.
Kalisto, man, I'm telling you, that's the next Rey Mysterio right there.
But the even better Rey Mysterio, that's the thing I want to point out.
Mysterio, Mark my word.
I don't know.
This is going to make me sound racist, but it's one thing to be a Mexican jumping being in the ring, but it's a different thing to fucking connect with the kids. Rey Mysterio, don't even, because this motherfucker, if he connects with the kids, then that's a good thing. If he can do the moves and connect with the kids, then that's a great thing. But if he can't, then just doing all of the moves better than Rey is not going to be
better than Rey.
It's not going to be better than Rey.
Because, and Jenny, this is me being a straight mark. Kalisto's only around because of Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Mysterio made that trail.
Of course, but you have young predecessors who are more than capable.
Well,
Mysterio, don't jump down my back.
No.
I'm just saying, Jenny.
What is Marks for Mysterio? Okay, that's all it is.
That's fine. I'm the biggest mark on the whole show, so I understand when it's like to mark out.
I've noticed this now. I don't know if they're doing this on purpose or if they're not doing it on purpose and it's just bothering me. Because it is bothering me. It's bothering me how Sin Cara is getting most of the action in their tag team matches. Like, every time you turn around, he's in the fucking ring. Why can't Kalisto be in the fucking ring below in the 2 minutes?
That depends, really. Like, we didn't really get to see much of Kalisto tonight, specifically. But
I watched the matches with that the Murphy and whatever his name was a couple weeks ago when they lost the tag team championships. Every time I turned around, Sin Cara was in the ring again. I don't know if they're doing that on purpose.
Well, I think they're trying to rebrand Sin Cara since he obviously failed on. But this is not even the same Sin Cara, right? This is Unico. This is the Mexican car thief gimmick.
Yeah, they're trying to make us think that he's actually the real Sin Cara, but that's not the case.
But one thing I noticed about today, though, is they planted, if you noticed it, they planted some seeds to the Kalisto and Sin Cara split. If you watch that match carefully.
Well, I will kind of release a confession here. I didn't watch all of the tag team match because I had to move my modem and shit like that. So, yeah, I didn't watch all of it. But when I got back, it's just Kalisto was doing a bunch of crazy shit in the ring. So, yeah.
Also, one thing I want to say this people are like, no one on the Murphy and God, what the fuck is his name?
Blake. You can't even remember his name. That is.
But they
were edgeheads. Yeah, let's be
honest.
Yeah,
they were edgeheads. Exactly what I thought. They're edgeheads.
Mm-hmm. They're edgeheads.
The edgeheads.
Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder.
That's exactly what I think.
But here's what I was gonna say though. The fact that I can't remember their names isn't saying how bad they are. I thought they have terrible ring names. That's what the issue is. But
I didn't say bad. I just said unmemorable. And if this can make me sound like such an a-hole because I don't know half of what the wrestlers go through. But if they were good enough, and then regardless of their names, you would remember them because of how memorable they were in the ring.
Yeah, but see, this is what I was gonna say though about their team.
You can't even remember.
They're being rushed to the main spot a little too soon. I wouldn't say that. They should not be champions. But I love how organic their team feels. There's no gimmick. They're just a team. I fucking love that feel to it. Like, if you look at the Vaudevillains, their gimmicks, obviously, they're like from the 1920s.
Look, the Vaudevillains are my team, so if anybody has anything to say, I'm going to come, you know, guns hoeing, because I'm not holding anything back. They're my team.
The Ascension had the whole shoulder pads and face paint, all that shit. You had the Lucha Dragons. They're the spot monkeys, basically. No offense to them. I'm not trying to hate on them. But, like, then you have this team, and they just feel organic, you know?
If that's the way they bring someone up from the main roster, what they're doing with the Ascension, if that's what they do with people when they bring them up from NXT, then I'm not for bring. I understand that it would be a cool thing, the whole Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn thing
exactly
playing out on Raw.
Before.
I know.
Because I know I'm scared
but
for all
again,
my NXT babies because
yeah,
they just stay down
then
there.
Then again, the Ascension, I don't think Vince is stupid enough to throw away Sami Zayn. I think that he understands that Sami Zayn is a valuable commodity. I don't think that.
I hope so.
I mean, the Ascension, I feel like he's looking at them like, okay, we're probably going to repackage them in a couple months anyway, so let's just see what we can do because you never know what's going to happen. But Sami Zayn, it's not like the Ascension were motherfucking main eventing the NXT show. I mean, to my knowledge, apparently they weren't. So, yeah. If that's what they do with NXT talent on Raw, then we need to be afraid. But I still think it's worth a shot if they
do it
right.
I've been afraid for months. Ever since I started watching NXT, I've been afraid for months. My NXT favorites need to stay down there for the rest of their lives.
Okay.
They do not go anywhere. I'm sorry. I could give a whole rant about this, but we can move on.
Okay. I have a quick little rant about the overall aesthetics of the show. And it's not a negative rant toward them. It's actually negative toward WWE. Because I'm such a WWE mark that no matter how good NXT or TNA or any other type of... I understand NXT is produced by WWE. I understand it's not a complete alternative.
Well,
but,
it is. It's produced by different people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look back, I mean, SmackDown was essentially the fucking same thing. If you look, I mean, I understand that Vince always had the last say on what happened on SmackDown, but SmackDown had a completely different set of writers and a completely different set of storylines and stuff like that. So, what was I going to say? Okay, the aesthetics of NXT. When I was watching the show, from the first match, by the way, the guy that came out with the selfie stick, that made me laugh so hard.
Tyler,
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. Oh my God, that was funny.
Tyler Breeze.
Your old Prince
okay.
Pretty.
Okay.
King.
But
King of
from the first match, the first 2 minutes of the match, I'm sitting here having flashbacks to the first time I ever watched SmackDown. Because that's what it felt like. It felt like watching a wrestling show for the first time. And I was trying to think, why do I feel like this? And then I started looking around. There's no motherfucking lights on the crowd. There's no crazy goddamn WWE HD setup. There's no huge ramp from the fucking stage to the ring. There's no big, ridiculous, self-indulgent W on the fucking stage or anything like that. It was just literally a stage, a ramp that's close to the ring. You get in the ring, you motherfucking do your business, and then you're gone. There's no huge announce table. There's no big fucking la-ti-da. There's no bullshit. You get in the ring and you do your shit. And the stripped-down feel of the show made me start fantasizing about, oh, what if someone like, you know, what if like Dean Ambrose like walked out and he had a match? Like, what if he randomly showed up at this show? He would feel larger than life. Why? Because we see him every week on Monday Night Raw, and Monday Night Raw is a huge mother... It's hard to stand out on Monday Night Raw because they have the crowd lit, they have the huge stage, they have the huge ramp from the stage to the ring. It's hard to stand out, and it's also 3 hours, so you're literally swimming in content, a huge sea of content. You're trying to poke your head above water and say, hey, you know what, here I am over here. But NXT, the reason that people are poking out and the reason that people like Sami Zayn, Finn Balor, and people like that are poking out and people are connecting with them is because the characters are the only thing that you can latch on to. There's nothing else there. NXT is essentially just a stage and a ring. The characters are what you're there for. Not the pageantry of Monday Night Raw and everything like that. And, oh, you're watching the longest, what's the quote, Jen? The longest weekly episodic.
The longest running weekly episodic television show.
Episodic television show in history.
Yeah, there's no prestige. There's no hang-ups or anything like that. There's no cliches. There's no resting on your laurels or anything like that with NXT. So you literally have to go out there and you have to either connect with the character, or if, you know, from the point of view of the wrestler.
Or the story, really.
Or the
story.
And that's what makes it so special. So when Triple H takes over Raw, here's the thing I beg of you. You can still have Raw in these same arenas, right? You can still sell them all out. It's fine. But strip it down. No lights on the motherfucking crowd. No huge-ass stage. No long-ass ramp all the way to the ring. Strip it down, have a fucking ring and a stage and a place to blow up a couple fireworks for your bigger stars, and have the characters be the fucking main attraction. Not your pretty lights, not your fucking pageantry, not your laurels, not your fucking 1,000 episodes or any of that shit. Okay? That's the thing that depressed me the most about watching this, is that I was seeing what Raw could be. I was seeing the potential of what the full product could be if they just took care of a couple things and got their head out of their own ass. Because I understand, Vince, you've accomplished a lot, but it's time to realize that
you're an idiot.
Well, Monday Night Raw as a whole, Monday Night Raw should not be bigger than any of your stars on the roster. Your stars should represent...
The stars are what need to make Raw, not
the
other way around.
Yeah, the stars make Raw. Raw doesn't make the stars. That should be the difference, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's the
That's the difference that we see in NXT. The stars make NXT. NXT doesn't make the stars. As we saw, you know, remember years ago when we had that stupid, all that stupid crap on TV, it was awful. NXT made the stars, but nowadays the stars are what makes NXT, and that is why it is so special.
Yeah.
Because these guys and girls are so good, they have the time, and they have the freedom to go out there and kill it all the time.
It's like people always compare to the Attitude Era a lot, but if you go back and watch, the Attitude Era stage and everything like that was not that fucking interesting. They didn't. Yeah, they did. It was literally just a stage where you walk out and fucking get in the ring. And the reason that the show was so over the top and insane is because of the characters. You didn't have a bunch of lights on the crowd. You didn't have a bunch of segments where, oh, this guy was going on a sitcom, and then we're going to do a backstage segment that's going to promote a phone application so you can get on your phone during the show. No. You were there to see the characters. That's why you were there. You're watching Monday Night Raw in the Attitude Era to motherfucking see The Rock, Triple H, Undertaker, Mick Foley. You're watching for the characters. And it's the same thing with NXT. You don't watch NXT so you can get on your fucking phone and see what happened in the commercial break. You don't get on there to tweet a stupid hashtag. You don't watch NXT for the stage or the lights or the commercials or any of that bullshit. You know, people say all the time, oh, I only watch the Super Bowl for the commercials. That's what Raw feels like a lot of the time, is that you're only kind of watching Raw so you can say you watched Raw. It feels like a chore. It's not, oh, I want to watch Raw because I want to see what's going on.
Yep.
You're watching Raw because it's just a thing that's in our blood. You watch Raw. It's a thing that we do. We'll never be able to escape it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never be able to escape it. It's just a thing you do. You watch Raw. I don't have to watch NXT every week, but now I want to because the characters connected with me. I'm connected with the characters. And that's the only way you're going to be able to save your product. I promise I'm done. Go ahead,
okay,
everybody.
That's fine. I just kind of have a statement to, as more of a question, a concluding question for you guys. So now that we have all watched, and I have been preaching the choir about NXT for months and months, so
yeah,
I'm sitting
yeah.
here, I am good. But now that all of you have seen it and finally listened to what I'm saying, will y'all continue to watch, not just the specials, but on a weekly basis?
Well, it all depends.
I was watching before, so I'm good.
It all depends on the convenience of a gym, because if, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they, like, every Wednesday, do they stream it on the network?
Every Wednesday, yep. Yeah.
Okay, but then directly after, it's on archive on the network, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It should be,
well, then,
usually,
then,
yeah.
Then fucking perfect, because the only reason I don't watch Raw on, archive on the network is because they got that fucking stupid Hulu Plus shit, and I can't. I can only watch motherfucking archives from a month ago. So yeah, if they post the archives directly after the show streams, I probably won't watch it live. I'll probably watch it on archive, because I'd much rather do that, because the stream is a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely keep up with it. Because the greatest thing about this is that it's such a cool, like Kyle was talking about, it's a different flavor. It's such a cool contrast to the product, and it expands my mind. It helps me have a perspective on the product as a whole. Because
also,
when you're just watching Raw every week, it's easy to get, it's like if they do something mediocre and you're not watching anything else, you're like, hey, that's, you know what, that was really good. But if you're watching NXT, if you're watching NXT that's fucking killing it, and then you watch something that you originally thought was amazing on Raw, in comparison, it's probably not that amazing.
It just blows it out of the water.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, one thing I will say, Jen, is that I don't think NXT is that fucking amazing. I mean, it's a good show. I enjoyed it. The characters are good. But overall, as a show,
just
I don't find it that fucking amazing.
That is fine, but you have to realize there are tons of NXT marks like myself out there. So we all come together in this massive mob, and we never shut up about it. So
here's the one thing. Speaking about NXT marks, I want to say this one quick thing. It's not you, Jenny. It's other people I've seen. If you love somebody, love them. Support them in NXT. Do not bitch that they're not in the main roster. Calm down. Let it happen organically.
I was just going on about how terrified I am for Sammy and Finn.
I don't say you, but basically, I've seen people say, like, oh, so-and-so should be in the main roster. So-and-so should be moved up. So-and-so. Let it happen organically. Let enjoy their time in NXT, and when they get moved up, enjoy it organically. Sit down
yeah.
and just wait.
Mm-hmm.
Show fucking patience.
One thing that I was
that
thinking...
Ruined. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
One thing that I was thinking halfway through the show is that because when Finn Balor came out and he was doing that entrance, I was like, holy shit, this is so fucking cool. And then
That is what I've been saying. His entrance is something else. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a mark.
One thing that I was thinking is, you know how we were talking about how, oh, is Triple H sipping Vince's Kool-Aid and shit like that? I was thinking, I am sipping so much NXT Kool-Aid right now that I'm just.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'm gonna go to the store and just buy 8 gallons of motherfucking NXT Kool-Aid and just sip that shit with a straw.
We accept any and all passengers. Come on board. You're more than welcome. No passport, nothing needed. Just come right on board.
Okay. Going around the panel, any more, like, quick little thoughts about the show?
I fucking
Jamie,
love Baron Corbin. There we go.
Oh, that's God. It. He's so overrated right now. Jesus Christ. He has a good look, a good entrance, and a good finisher. But other than that, I don't see it.
I will say that his match with Bull fucking blow. He's not full of Bull, whatever his name is.
Well, hey, this is not going to be a good thing to say right before we end the show, but Baron Corbin is the Roman Reigns of NXT. Okay, moving on.
Oh,
whoa.
Nice. Now my turn. Actually, no, you know what? I feel like I'm the last person who should sing the NXT praises, so everybody else go ahead.
I just want to say this in response to what I believe Axel was one that said this about how we watch Raw because it's in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
I like to compare wrestling to a scar on your body.
Yeah.
Right. It's something that's always going to be there.
Yeah. Can't fucking get rid of it. Even.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
If you let it go deep enough, it's never going away.
And if you let it go deep enough, you end up spending thousands of, well, I wouldn't say upon thousands, but you end up spending thousands of dollars on DVDs. That's how deep this shit goes.
It's you know what, WWE is kind of like AIDS. Once you get it, you're stuck with it. You can try to ignore it, but at the end of the day, you always know it's in your blood. Okay, moving
you have
on.
You have to itch that itch every now and then.
Yeah, it's like herpes. It's like herpes. Okay, on that note.
Well, it's like, for example, like, Axel, how many times have you tried to stop watching?
I think three big times I've tried to stop watching. It was never a concerted effort for me to, like, I'm not watching anymore. It was just, I just stopped watching. It wasn't like, oh, I'm mad, I'm not going to watch. It was just, I didn't want to watch.
But
I was fed up. But now I'm never leaving again because I motherfucking missed the return of Evolution and Undertaker's streak ending. So I'm never going on another WWE
so
break.
So
you're
finally back and you're never leaving us again. So you won't be here next week, then, right, Dwayne?
The Rock is finally home. Okay.
Home.
On that note, thank you for listening to the NXT.
Hold up.
Wait a minute.
Just let me say my piece first. I was
peacefully.
We got to get our NXT
spokesperson
in here.
That's exactly right. I was letting y'all jabber on and on and on. Now it's my turn to close out the show.
I thought you already said your piece.
No. Yeah, I shook your mouth.
She wants another piece.
You're darn right. I want the whole pie, actually. Anyway, so this is just, I'm pretty hungry, actually. I probably will get something to eat after this. But this is just the final
statement
overall. I know. it's an issue. It's a problem. But, and I just want to preface this by saying I will always be a WWE girl. WWE was the first thing I started watching. I will watch it until I die. No, I'll probably end up watching that in the afterlife. Kyle, shut your mouth. This is my monologue.
Hashtag Ziggler Skullfuck.
Literally.
This is not the time. Anyway, so I will always be a WWE girl, and I will watch them forever, as we have discussed. But NXT is killing it, and I'm so proud to be a part of it as a fan, and I cannot wait to see just how much better it gets. It just gets better and better is what it is. So that's it for me. Good night.
Okay, thank you for listening to the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show, post-show for NXT TakeOver Rival. We will see you Tuesday, 8-7 p.m. Central on the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show, right here every week, weekly, even though we don't have that good of a record.
Regardless of what happens.
Yeah, regardless of what tries to stand in our way, no matter how many WWE AIDS and herpes infections
how many
prevent us from enjoying it, We will be here talking about the product every week. So thank you for listening. We are the Weekly Wrestling Talk Show.